All right, Shabbosai, good morning. Let's continue. We're still in Parakeet Aleph in the Nisias Yisharim. So we're picking up this morning, page Kuf Yud Dalet, right? We began this section yesterday. Will the Meretz Hashem continue it today? Harachilos V'alashon Hara. So again, we began yesterday to discuss the severity of Rechilos Lashon Hara. Remember again our context that Ramchal is talking about over here, the interpersonal averus that we often end up violating without even realizing that we're actively violating something. Just by in the course of normal day-to-day activity, these are the things that we end up doing wrong. So rechilus, remember again, we defined these terms yesterday. So rechilus means, again, really tale-bearing. Speaking, you know, just conveying information from one person to another. Even though the information itself may not be negative about someone. Just the act of going ahead and being someone who talks here and talks there, that's rechilus. Lashon hara, of course, is slander, even if it's true. So, kvar chumro noda, the godol anafav ki rabba ma'od. Everyone is already aware of the severity of these prohibitions. And godol anafav means the many appendages, right? The many appendages and pieces that it has. Ad shekvar gozer gozru omer chachamim zochron levracha b'mamar shekvar iskarti v'kulam ba'avak lashon hara. And I will say the truth is that the aspects and details of lashon hara and rechilus are so many and so intense and so detailed that Chazal say almost everyone, kulam actually says kulam, everyone. Ba'avak Lashon Hara. I'm going to say, Ba'avak Lashon Hara literally means the dust of Lashon Hara, which means although there are some who do not actively engage in Lashon Hara, everyone says something that borders on Lashon Hara, right? Or is that some derivation of Lashon Hara? Va'amru, hei, yidami Lashon Hara. So the Gemara gives examples, what's Lashon Hara? And I both say, now understand. So when the Gemara says, hei, yidami Lashon Hara, the Gemara is not asking, so what's an example of Lashon Hara? Right? I go over to Reuven and I say, you know, Shimon's a jerk. Right? The Gemara is that's obvious. That's obvious. What the Gemara is asking really is, give me an example of more nuanced Lashon Hara. Something that perhaps I wouldn't necessarily automatically assume is Lashon Hara. So the Gemara gives an example. Kigon da'amer, heicha mishtachach nura. Someone comes over to me and they say to me, you know, where could I find a fire? Right, they're asking is, let's say it's late at night or whatever it is, whose house can I find the fire in? So the Gemara says, So ultimately again, so let me say it a little bit differently. I make the statement, I'm talking to my friend and say, you know where you could find the fire burning right now, even in the middle of the night? Reuven's house. Reuven's always got a fire burning. I will say, now what's the inference of that statement? Right? The inference of that statement is Reuven is a rich guy. Reuven's a rich guy. He's always got, if you look at footnote 160, he says, Hecha timtza ata ish avaveso shaploni, demashma ashirhu, v'chosha matsui ish bebeso levashal tavshilin. The Kavanasa Omer came, Lirmos al Gnu Social Osa Adam, Shumar Besuda. So listen to this. So the statement of, if I go over to Reuven and I say, Reuven, you know, if you wanted to find a fire burning even in the middle of the night, you know whose house you could go to? Shimon. Shimon's always got a fire burning. So I'll say, if somebody were to ask you, is such a statement like that Lashon Hara? I'd be tempted to say no. Okay, it's strange. Why are you talking about Shimon's fires? But the Gemara understands it to mean that what the real connotation of my statement is, Shimon is rich. He's always got a fire burning because he's always cooking food. And he's always cooking food because he's such a glutton. Now I was saying, now the truth is, you have to dig really deep to find the negativity in that statement. Right? That statement can be interpreted as a totally innocuous statement like, okay, Shimon's a rich guy, so he's always got a fire. I'm sorry? He's a Baal Chesed, right? He's always entertaining guests. But the point over here is that the statement could be interpreted as a reflection of, or as my statement on Shimon's gluttony. He's got a fire always burning because he's always cooking, because he's always eating. So I'll say, so the Gemara says, this is an example of Lashon Hara. So this is a pretty extreme idea because you see from here that what? That he, we all understand Lashon Hara in the realm of an explicitly negative statement. But to understand Lashon Hara, even as something that's nuanced, and by the way, that might not even be what I mean. But because it calls me the way that I say it, how it's interpreted, who I'm saying it to, that becomes Lashon Hara. Oh, she is safer tovasa lifnei sonav, v'chok yotzei bazeh. What's another example of Lashon Hara? This is incredible. Let's say I'm talking about Reuven in front of Shimon. I know that Shimon doesn't like Reuven. He doesn't like him. So I go over and see Reuven, that Reuven, what a good guy. What a solid individual. What a bentora, what a this, what a that. So I'll say, inevitably, if you speak about someone in positive, glowing terms, in front of someone who does not like that individual, what is going to happen? Right? Negative conversation is going to ensue. So I'll say, here's another example. That's Lashon Hara as well. I didn't say anything wrong. In fact, just the opposite. I'm speaking in glowing terms about Reuven, right? I'm being nice about him, but LMI context. I'm speaking to him, speaking about him to someone who I know doesn't like him. So therefore, it's only a matter of time until something negative comes up. The Chol Kiyotze was that. And other examples of this. Afa pi shenirim dvarim kalim urechokim min arechilos. Hine be'emes me'avak shalohim. So we'll say, so now you begin to see the wisdom and the statement of Chazal, where Chazal say, everyone engages in avak lashon hara. So we'll say avak lashon hara means the dust of lashon hara, which means things that are not explicitly lashon hara, but least lashon hara. We'll say, right, we've all had conversations like this where you're talking nicely about someone, and somehow, some way, within a matter of moments, you didn't realize who you're talking to. You didn't realize the history that person has with the person who you're talking about. And suddenly, what began as a beautiful opportunity to speak nicely about another Jew, mamish descends into Lashon Hara chaos. So that's when Chazal said, and this happens to everyone. There's no person who escapes this. At the end of the day, everyone gets stuck in Avak Lashon Hara. So therefore, I will say, therefore, Klalo Shel Davar, Harbei Drachim Hitzer, Aval Kol Dibor Sheyuchal Lehivali Mimeno Nezek Obizan Lechavero, Bein Befanov, Bein Shelo Befanov, Hare ze bichla lashon hara hasanai umesuav lifnei hamakom. So we'll say this is really quite amazing. So essentially, says the mechaber, says the Ramchal, any word that you say that can potentially engender lashon hara, right? Any word that you could say that could potentially engender, like negative, hurt, degradation, damage to someone else, is included in the Lashon Hara. So he says, Shamru, I love Kalamasapra Lashon Hara, Kilu Kofre Be'ikr, Ukrak, Sietap of Koftesvav, Melashni Basei Sereyu Otsa Asmus. So we'll say, so this is really quite amazing. Because it turns out then, says the Ramchal, that anything I say that could descend into Lashon Hara essentially is treated like Lashon Hara. So we'll say, this sets a very high bar. Because essentially, we'll say, so pretty much like the only way to kind of ever, to escape something like this is how, don't speak about people. Don't speak about people. You can speak about stuff, right? You can speak about, right? You can speak about, don't speak about people. Because at the end of the day, so what the Ramchal says is, if there's a chance that something that you're going to say is going to result in hurting someone, degrading someone, embarrassing someone, don't say it. And now we begin to see the variables are like immeasurable. I could be having, and I will say again, we know this, I could be having the most innocuous conversations with the purest of kavanas. But I can't control what the other person thinks or what the other person says. And unless we know Hilchos Lashon Hara is, even if I'm not speaking it, but I'm hearing it and I'm a party to it or I'm the catalyst for it, that's problematic as well. Therefore, now you begin to understand why Chazal say everybody, Kulam Ba'avak Lashon Hara, no one escapes the tangentially related conversations of Lashon Hara, because it's virtually impossible to escape them. Therefore, says the Ramchal, before speaking, ask yourself, can this conversation, can this statement potentially embarrass, damage, or hurt someone else? And if there's any even remote possibility, says the Ramchal, don't say it. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem tomorrow with Nekima and Netira, revenge and harboring grudges. Shkoyach.